This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Lance Armstrong is hardly the first pro athlete to fall from grace, but losing all of his Tour de France titles Monday for doping was big news. We're going to talk to a psychologist coming up who has studied the dark side of pro athletes and what it means to children when their heroes fall. First, pro cycling is huge in Colorado, and we want to find out what Lance Armstrong's debacle could mean for the sport here. Brian Holcomb is editor of the Boulder website Velo News, and he's been getting reaction. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Colorado is home to a lot of pro cyclists. Boulder and Durango are big training centers. So what are these folks saying about the decision to strip Armstrong of his titles?
I think something that the U.S. national road champion Timmy Duggan, who grew up in Boulder, lives up in Netherlands, said actually about 2 months ago at our big USA Pro Challenge race still holds true now, and that is that it doesn't really impact a lot of these guys. A lot of these pros came into the sport following Armstrong's first retirement in 2005, and they don't really feel attached to what's going on. That said, there are a few writers, most notably Tom Danielson, who is wrapped up in the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency's case against Armstrong. He testified, was a rider with Armstrong's Discovery Channel team in 2005. And it is, of course, impacting him on a personal level. He's serving a 6-month suspension from the sport now during the off season. But I think for the most part, these riders will tell you that they're just happy that this is over in the past and they don't really feel really attached to it.
You mentioned Timmy Duggan. He's in his 20s, rides for an Italian team, right?
That's true.
And I guess the idea is there's now just a new generation of cyclists who aren't tainted by this and are glad they're not.
Yeah, I think so. Timmy's one of a number of riders from Colorado specifically that bought into this clean sport idea, and we're really seeing a sea change in the attitude of riders in the peloton now that don't want to go down the path of a lot of their predecessors.
How much should we trust that? Is it possible that what continues is this arms race, really, between people who dope in ways that aren't detectable and then the testers who catch up with them?
That's a really fair question. I mean, Armstrong has famously denied his own involvement in what has been pegged as the largest doping conspiracy in sport for more than a decade now. However, there are new controls put in place by the UCI and the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, the World Anti-Doping Agency, that do give us cause for positive perception of where the sport is going. There are things like the Biological Passport Program, which monitors blood values and physiological parameters over time. The net is basically closing. Would I say that the sport of cycling is clean? No, I wouldn't say that any professional sport where money and fame are on the line is clean. But I do feel that the sport has come a long way from, let's say, 2002, when we were in the middle of the big blood doping EPO era.
EPO is basically a hormone that ups red blood cells and then blood oxygen. And the end result is athletes can work longer and harder. And you mentioned also the UCI, just for those who aren't familiar, that's the International Cycling Union. I want to talk about the USA Pro Challenge. So this is a race that basically just wrapped up its second year, a multi-day race in Colorado. And it was originally something of a brainchild of Lance Armstrong and former Governor Bill Ritter. What's the effect of all of this on the Pro Challenge, do you think?
Well, I think that the organizers of that race played this about as well as they could. Armstrong, of course, presented the race in the fall of 2010 on the steps of the Capitol building. That was his final appearance publicly with race organizers. The race underwent a large management change later that year, actually two management changes, and we never saw Armstrong again at events leading up to the race, at the event itself, other than kind of on the backstage area. They really removed him from being a face of the event, and I think that they had to know that something like this was coming. I think it's too early to be seen where the event goes as far as long-term sponsorship deals are concerned. They are solidified with a number of sponsors going into 2013, and I'll be curious to see how the fan turnout is a year from now.
Let's talk about the riders who admitted to doping in the investigation against Armstrong. You've already mentioned Tom Danielson, who's based in Boulder, but there are others as well who are members of the Garmin-Sharp team in Boulder, right?
Yes, there are. There's David Zabriskie and Christian Vandeveld, both members of the Garmin-Sharp squad, as well as Jonathan Vodders, who's the team's CEO, started the Slipstream Sports program in the early 2000s after he retired with a clean cycling ethic. And when guys like Zabriskie, Vandeveld, Danielson were ready to leave doping behind, basically, they found refuge in Vodder's program, and they've thrived there. The team supported them in their testimony and in their public admissions earlier this year.
And they are all serving suspensions?
They are. Those riders, Danielson, Vandeveld, and Zabriskie, are each serving six-month suspensions.
Well, Vandeveld was the winner of the Pro Challenge this summer, and in 2011, it was Levi Leipheimer. He rides for another team, but also admitted to doping as part of the Armstrong investigation. Could they lose their first place wins in the Pro Challenge?
Likely not. The testimony dated back more than half a decade, and so the period in question should not include results from that race, but if I've learned one thing in this entire case is that surprises are around every corner.
Is it something of a contradiction that riders on a team are suspended, but that the team itself is protected?
That gets at the heart of the larger doping debate and the role of teams and team managers in these large-scale doping programs. I mean, the team doesn't officially have any sort of punishment from the UCI per se, but I think that it's a fair case to make that they should. We saw teams like Astana, the Kazakh squad, was removed from the Tour de France a few years ago after its lead rider and another rider both tested positive for doping during the race. So it's a really fair question, and I think that that is something that a number of people in the sport would like to see managed differently.
Are there people who competed with Lance Armstrong but were clean and may have placed, well, did place after him in races that are really just angry?
Well, I think that there are a handful of riders, you know, racing the Tour clean and racing the major European races clean during that Armstrong reign that may be angry about this. However, I think that the bigger distinction is with riders who didn't have the opportunity to compete at that top level because they weren't willing to make that choice. You know, Scott Mercier, former U.S. Postal Service rider who's now based in Grand Junction, he famously walked away from the team after team staff offered him doping products in the late 90s.
Have any Colorado organizations or communities here said that they still support Lance Armstrong? I've read that the Aspen Art Museum, for instance, is standing behind him. He sits on their board and has a home in that community.
That is the only organization that I've seen in Colorado that has made a statement coming out to support Armstrong. The Armstrong boat is dropping passengers daily. It's certainly surprising to see anyone willingly climb aboard.
I want to note that Armstrong is not going to lose his 2009 first place standing in the Leadville Trail 100 mountain bike race. That's according to a race spokesperson. I just wonder, as someone who follows cycling and someone who clearly loves cycling, if you just feel disappointed or duped or what?
If you had asked me 7 years ago, 8 years ago, perhaps I would have said that. Today, I personally have more feeling of relief, a feeling of, as a newsman, looking forward to not having 80 emails in my inbox every day with doping in the subject line and spending our man hours chasing these stories when we'd rather be chasing the stories of a beautiful sport that we all love and we all hold in high regard.
Brian, thank you so much.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Brian Holcomb is editor of the Boulder cycling website Velo News. Coming up, the pitfalls of hero worship, especially in sports. This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio.